From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch, where we bring you insights, analysis, and interviews on some of the most important issues facing you and your family. And it all comes from a biblical worldview. So for the next hour, we're going to navigate the conflicts and the complexities of our nation's capital with clarity, integrity, and a relentless pursuit of truth. Washington Watch starts now.
Wherefore, Alejandro N. Mayorkas, by such conduct, has demonstrated that he will remain a threat to national and border security, the safety of the American people, and the Constitution if allowed to remain in office, and has acted in a manner grossly incompatible with his duties and the rule of law. Alejandro N. Mayorkas thus warrants impeachment and trial, removal from office, and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, and profit under the United States.
That was the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, Mark Green, delivering the impeachment articles of Secretary Mayorkas to the Senate this afternoon. So what's next in this historic impeachment? We're going to talk about it on today's edition of Washington Watch. And all eyes are now on Israel. When and how will they respond to the unprecedented attack by Iran?
I won't be sharing our decisions about the next move, but needless to say, this country will be defended. It's the primary role of every government to defend its citizens, no less for the people of Israel.
That was Israeli government spokesman David Mintzer earlier today. A government's primary responsibility is to defend itself and its people. That's something our government seems a bit confused about. We're going to talk with South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham in just a moment. I'll also be joined in studio by a member of the Israeli Knesset. Ohed Tal will join us to discuss how Israelis view the present threat to their country. And from Senate Scare Leader Chuck Schumer.
Right now, the world is in desperate need of American leadership. Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Iran's attack on Israel, and the Chinese government's encroachments on the South Pacific threaten world peace, threaten America's prosperity, and threaten the very future of Western democracy.
Well, I'm certainly glad that Senator Schumer has discovered that. But he also needs to look on his desk because the Senate has refused to even vote on two bills that came from the House that would provide support for Israel. Well, even more shocking today, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said that President Biden would not, I repeat, would not sign a bill giving support to Israel unless it contained funding for Ukraine.
So we've been very clear, my colleagues from here just moments ago, that we will not accept a standalone. A standalone would actually not help Israel and Ukraine. It would actually delay the needs that they the needed aid that they obviously need to fight.
The only reason it wouldn't help is because the president wouldn't sign it. It would immediately get help to Israel. Well, we're going to get the latest from the House on the funding of Israel and Ukraine when North Carolina Congressman Dr. Greg Murphy joins us a little bit later. Also, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey has scored another victory in court against Planned Parenthood and their efforts in gender transitioning of minors. A.G. Bailey joins us with those details. The website, TonyPerkins.com, be sure and check it out. Lots of resources there for you. And let me remind you, coming up May the 19th, pray for and stand with Israel. Join us. Text the word Israel to 67742 and pledge to pray for that embattled nation. Well, in response to Iran's aerial attack on Israel this week, Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen announced this afternoon the United States plans to impose new sanctions on Iran, likely in the form of further restrictions on oil exports. This comes as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his war cabinet held its third meeting today to discuss and plan Israel's response to the attack. What can we expect in the coming days? And will President Biden's decision to inform the world that the U.S. will not participate in any counterattack further embolden Iran? Joining me now to discuss this and much more is Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. He joins us by phone. Senator Graham, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me.
So your thoughts on the White House making sure the world knows that the Biden administration will not support an Israeli counterattack to the Iranian attack that took place over the weekend?
Well, I think the Biden approach to foreign policy in general has just been a disaster. But this may be the worst example yet. Telling Iran that Israel's on its own when it comes to protecting Israel after being hit with 300 drones and ballistic missiles coming from Iran toward Israel just emboldens the Iranians. It emboldens Hezbollah, emboldens Hamas. It is the dumbest thing I've heard any president say regarding the Mideast conflict. Telling the Ayatollah, you just attacked Israel with 300 weapons, and Israel's going to hit you back, but they'll be doing it without us, just invites more aggression.
So let me ask you this question, Senator Graham, for those who would say, you know, look, we just need to stay out of all this business. We can't be the world's policeman. Doesn't this approach endanger America?
Well, what they need to do, okay, that's a really good question. Rocket Man in North Korea. I don't think he's going to attack America tomorrow. He's kind of a thug, a mafia guy. You know, Putin's crazy, but I don't think he's going to attack America tomorrow. China's a bad actor. What's the difference between the Ayatollah and everybody I've just talked about? The Ayatollah is a religious Nazi. Here's what people don't understand. If the Ayatollah had a nuclear weapon, he would use it in the name of Allah. His goal is to destroy the Jewish state, to purify Islam, and come after the infidels like us. Hitler wrote a book about what he was going to do to the Jews and others. Nobody believed it. The Ayatollah and his henchmen talk every day about the destruction of the Jewish state. So to those Americans who believe this doesn't matter to you, I promise you, if Israel is destroyed by the Ayatollah and his henchmen, you're on their list. This idea of sitting on the sidelines and watching the only democracy that practices religious tolerance to be wiped out by a theocracy who has as its goal to purify the world's religion is insane. Have you learned nothing from the 30s?
Well,
so
let's talk about
this fight because they put us in this fight.
Let me ask you that question. Unfortunately, our schools today don't teach history very well, but most of our audience was in school when history was taught. Doesn't history provide us with sufficient evidence that appeasement doesn't result in peace, but it only communicates weakness?
Well, let me tell you about history. You've been to Israel. You were there a few weeks ago. I've been to the Holocaust Museum. I have been to all the places throughout the world where the Jews were slaughtered. Here's what history tells the Jewish people. Take seriously when somebody wants to kill all the Jews. So Israel is not going to willingly go into the gas chambers again. They're a state with a very good military. They're a democracy. They have a capitalist economy. They will fight to the last Jew to protect the Jewish people from another slaughter. So history tells Israel, when somebody threatens to kill all the Jews, take them seriously. This is a religious war. The reason we're in a conflict with Iran is that they're a religious theocracy who is taught through their faith to purify Islam, that means Saudi Arabia, to get rid of Sunni Islam, destroy the Jews and the Jewish state, and come after us. That's the enemy we're facing. History tells us when Hitler could have been stopped 10 times, nobody really believed he wanted to have a master race. He did. You could have stopped him early on. People wrote off what he was saying. The Ayatollah, Tony, wants a master religion. The Nazis wanted a master race. The Jews are not going to let this happen twice, and I'm with our friends in Israel.
So you're saying the best way to contain this global threat is to stand with our ally Israel, who they have the capability, they certainly have the determination, and they understand the reality, is to stand with them and let them strike back and eventually, I hope, defeat this evil.
I want this evil to go away. I want the Iranian people to know prosperity and peace. The religious theocracy in Iran is built around world dominance of faith. They literally believe that they're the only true keepers of the faith, that there's no place for Jews, there's no place for Christians or Sunni Muslims in the world they want to create. So the best way to keep America safe from radical Islam coming back to our shores is to fight it over there before it gets here.
Yeah.
And if you throw Israel over, they're coming after you next. So the best thing we can do to protect America is to stand with them as they face a religious Nazi in the form of the Ayatollah. And here's what I think. Iran, if they believed America would be with Israel, that we would wipe them off the map if they tried to destroy the Jewish state, they would think twice.
Would this have happened if Donald Trump were president?
No. Donald Trump, when he killed Soleimani, the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, set back the ambitions of the Ayatollah and his regime by decades. He cut off their money, the oil revenue. He isolated them from the world economy, and we were moving forward. The Arabs, through the Abraham Accord, recognized Israel. The Arabs only respond to strong leadership. So what's happened since Trump left? They went back into the Iranian nuclear agreement, Biden did. They gave them billions of dollars to the Ayatollah. He didn't build mosques with it. He didn't build hospitals. He's built a new military with it. So Biden has undercut everything Trump did. But no, the answer to your question is the Ayatollah and Hamas and Hezbollah would not have attacked Israel if Donald Trump were president, because they know what he was capable of doing. He took down Soleimani, and that was the biggest decision he made in the Mideast.
So strength does bring about peace.
Strength is the only way to be safe. The only thing the Ayatollah and the thugs of the world appreciate is strength. They're not normal people. Quit treating the Ayatollah and his regime as normal. They're not normal. The whole reason they live is to enact a religious agenda that compels them through their faith to destroy the Jews, Christians.
This is not new. Why does Biden and his team not? Why does President Biden and his team not get it? Why do they not get this?
They don't believe it. It's the same reason that Chamberlain and the world appeased Hitler. They didn't think anybody could be that warped to literally want to kill all the Jews and create a master race. They didn't believe it. That was just too crazy to believe. You know what? They should have believed it. But this is a religious Nazi, and he has marching orders from Allah to do the things that I'm talking about. The missing imam, the 10th imam, went missing 1,000 years ago. This guy's going to pop up out of the well to help Iran under their end times faith, but he has to have enough chaos in the world for him to come out of the well. They're trying to get that guy out of the well.
Right.
These people believe in a religious doctrine that requires them to destroy the Jewish people, just like Hitler believed that Jews were an inferior race. And we're not going to let this happen again. Me and you're not, and Israel's not. Biden is in denial.
Right.
He's delusional about the enemies Israel faces.
Senator, just 15 seconds, but you've been around a while. When you look at the volatility of the world on a scale to 1 to 10, where are we right now?
On 11, because the biggest fear I have is radical Islam having a weapon of mass destruction. They will use it, and Iran is close to it because we've allowed them to get stronger.
And,
and
this is probably the best opportunity to stop that.
You better stop them now before you regret it later.
All right, Senator Lindsey Graham, always great to talk with you. I do appreciate your insights and understanding when it comes to foreign policy. And your stand for life. We didn't get a chance to talk about that, but we will. All right, folks, don't go away. After the break, a member of the Israeli Knesset joins me in studio to see how they view the threat to Israel at the present time. Also, text the word Israel to 67742 and stand with and pray for the nation Israel. Don't go away.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Lila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold, or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, since Iran's unprecedented and direct assault on Israel over the weekend, Israel's war cabinet has been considering how to answer. Even as diplomats, including those from the Biden administration, encourage a tempered response. I mean, when your very existence is on the line, how do you have a tempered response? I think you need to have a strategic and a deliberate response. Now, Iranian officials continue to warn that their country will forcefully respond to any counterattack. So what options are on the table for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his war cabinet? And what does this say about America's support for Israel under the present administration? Well, joining me now in studio to discuss this is a member of the Knesset for the Religious Zionist Party, Ohad Tal. He is, in fact, a good friend. I was with him in Israel about a little over 3 weeks ago. Mr. Tal, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much for having me, Tony.
So we were together. Actually, I was in your home territory just a few weeks ago in Samaria and Judea, the biblical heartland of Israel, which, by the way, is part of the land that, under a two-state solution, would be given away,
right?
Which is, frankly, impractical.
Craziness.
It is crazy. And we talked about that, actually, last time you were on the program. You sat in that seat, maybe a month and a half ago. Let's talk about what's the current status in Israel as it pertains to this threat from Iran, this attack by Iran, and a potential response from Israel.
Well, you've said correctly that 2.5 days ago, Iran decided to do something of unprecedented. Usually, they're using their proxies in order to attack their rivals. You know that we know that they are the biggest sponsors and supporters of Hezbollah in Lebanon. They are the biggest supporters of the Houthis in Yemen. They are the supporters, of course, of Hamas and Islamic Jihad in Gaza and in Judea and Samaria. But this time, they did something different. They decided to directly attack Israel. They shot over 300 missiles, ballistic missiles, drones into Israel. This is something of unprecedented. And they did it because they felt that they can, and that Israel is weak enough, and that they are strong enough. And what made them feel that? I believe that because they looked at what is happening between the current administration and Israel. When they see that the American president is busy with imposing personal sanctions against Israeli citizens like myself, who lives in Judea and Samaria, because as if we are the problem and we are the people who are threatening the peace of the world instead of Hamas and Iran, then something is not working well. So they asking themselves what is going on. And we also, to be honest, also asking ourselves, what is going on? What is happening to America? What is happening to the relation between Israel and America?
I mean, I've actually made that point from a standpoint of the United States, the Biden administration, I'd say. I want to be very clear between the United States and the Biden administration, because the Biden administration does not represent all the United States. I know he is our president, but he does not reflect the views of, I believe, a majority of Americans.
I agree with you. I think the vast majority of Americans, as I know them, do not accept these policies. We all know Genesis 12:3, right? I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curses you. But again, to be honest, according to the steps that the administration is doing in recent weeks and months, we are asking ourselves whether the administration is blessing Israel or, God forbid, the opposite, is cursing Israel. Because when they impose the two-state solution on Israel after October 7th, it's basically telling the terrorists of Hamas, you want to achieve your goals? Keep doing what you're doing. Keep using terror. That will be the right path to go. That's a horrible message in the Middle East.
Well, it's a problematic on two fronts. One, it does reward bad behavior, horrible behavior. But secondly, it would put Israel in an indefensible position if you give away the heart of... It essentially divides Israel between north and south.
Right. You're right. I must tell you, Israel is a country that desires peace more than anything. For 30 years, we're doing everything we can to achieve peace. Some of the leaders were willing to even give parts of our land to the Palestinians in the hope that will bring peace.
That happened in Gaza.
Right.
Didn't happen.
Exactly. In 2005, we gave Gaza Strip all to the Palestinians.
And what have they done with the resources that have been given to them from the international community?
All went to terror. Not to build resorts, not to build, to invest in education, only in terror. So what the American administration is now suggesting is to give the heart of our land, Judea and Samaria, Jericho and Hebron and Shiloh and all these places to the Palestinians in order to establish another terror state at the heart of Israel, just a few kilometers from Tel Aviv, from Ben-Gurion Airport, from Jerusalem. Does that make any sense?
Is Israel's future on the line here as you see it?
You know, we don't like to talk about it a lot, but the truth is, the answer is yes. The answer is yes, because when you are weak in the Middle East, that's an existential threat.
So this is not just another skirmish that we've seen over the last 75 years.
No. I think for the first time, Israel is really in a difficult situation, trying to defend itself against, we are fighting now seven fronts. We are fighting in Gaza, we are fighting in Lebanon, we are fighting in Syria, we are fighting in Iraq, we are fighting with the Houthis, we are fighting in Judea and Samaria. We are fighting seven fronts. We are strong. I've heard from the former ambassador to Washington, Ron Dermer. He said that as ambassador, he met a lot of ambassadors from all over the world, but he never met the ambassador of the Empire of Persia, and he never met the ambassador of the Roman Empire. All those superpowers who try to destroy us and put us on a risk, they're not exist anymore.
Yeah.
We're still here.
I also think those who take a pass on standing with Israel, their future is in question as well. I believe this is a time that the United States must stand clearly with Israel.
Thank you very much for saying that. I think it's important, and we really hope to see America's changing and we hope to see the policies of America changing.
MK Tal, I want to thank you for taking time to join us today. Always great to see you, my friend.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And folks, I want to encourage you to join us on this special May 19th Sunday, a Sunday to pray for and stand with Israel. Text Israel to 67742 to be a part of that. That's Israel to 67742. All right, don't go away. More Washington Watch right after the break.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. And again, if you have not taken the pledge to pray for Israel, text the word Israel to 67742 and mark your calendars. May the 19th, churches across the nation will be praying for and standing with Israel. To find out more, text Israel to 67742. All right, earlier this year, a state circuit court in Missouri granted a motion to force a Planned Parenthood chapter in that state to turn over documents regarding gender interventions performed on minors. After Planned Parenthood stonewalled the release of the records, a circuit judge issued a second decision last week confirming that Planned Parenthood must turn over most documents under Missouri's Merchandising Practices Act. Now, given the tactics that Planned Parenthood has used to avoid releasing these files, what does that tell us that this organization is trying to hide when it comes to these gender transition surgeries and drugs that they're giving to minors, oftentimes without parental consent? Joining me now to discuss this is Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who is the one who succeeded in court. Andrew, Attorney General Bailey, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me on, Tony.
All right. So, I mean, they're stonewalling. They were told to do this. They didn't do it. You had to go back to court. What are they hiding?
Well, I think that's exactly what we're trying to answer. You know, we know that the other clinics in the state of Missouri have a very poor history of informing parents about the dangers and the negative consequences associated with these treatments. You know, prescription of life-altering, powerful puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones when there are zero FDA approvals for use of those medications in the treatment of gender dysphoria, or denial of certain patients' access to mental health assessments and traditional forms of mental health treatment like psychology or psychiatry. You know, we anticipate that there's going to be negative findings from our investigation into Planned Parenthood. Certainly, the behavior of Planned Parenthood in the abortion context is to consistently place their desire to terminate and end human life ahead of the health and welfare of patients. And we believe that that's going to be true in this context, the transgender context as well. But we're going to keep digging and root out this enterprise and hold any wrongdoers accountable.
Is part of their rationale for stonewalling, at least their claim justification, is that these records are covered by HIPAA and they can't release this information to you?
That's exactly the excuse they used. And what's most troubling about it is that several of the clinics had initially agreed to turn over the records we had subpoenaed. There were other clinics involved in addition to Planned Parenthood. And then they suddenly changed course after they had communicated with agents of the federal government. We have reason to believe that the Biden administration intervened with some of these agencies and asked them to look at HIPAA as an excuse to not have to turn over the records.
Wait a minute. So the Biden administration facilitating potentially illegal activity by Planned Parenthood by giving them the rationale to justify not turning over records based upon a court order to turn this information over to a government investigation. Did I get it right?
Yeah, I mean, we have every reason to believe that that's true, Tony, and that's really disconcerting. At the end of the day, most states have a law similar to the Missouri Merchandising Practices Act, which grants attorney generals broad authority to protect consumers. And at the end of the day, consumers in the healthcare market are purchasing goods and services just like in most other markets. And so the authority of the attorney general's office in statute applies in this context, regardless of what Joe Biden may think. And there are clear exceptions in HIPAA for state investigative authorities like the one we're conducting here.
So if you were to follow the logic, if in fact this is what the Biden administration is suggesting be done by Planned Parenthood, this would mean like Planned Parenthood and other nefarious organizations like that could operate without any oversight in the state. I mean, who's going to hold them accountable? Certainly not the federal government.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If Joe Biden is allowed to shield these bad actors, they can harm children in the state of Missouri without consequence. That's not a world that we can live in. The state has a role to play here. The state has broad police authority, and the Missouri Merchandising Practices Act was enacted pursuant to the constitutional authority reserved to the states and the people of the states under the 10th Amendment.
So I know this is just one piece of your investigation because you've been at this for some time now. Can you give us a sense of the status of your investigation into these gender transition treatments for minors?
Yeah, look, I can tell you that the evidence that we have uncovered through our investigation into numerous clinics operating in the shadows across the state of Missouri is consistent with the evidence that came forth when the whistleblower swore out an affidavit making very specific and credible accusations about a clinic in St. Louis in February of 2023. And everything that I'm saying today has been corroborated by the media. Now, they have not emphasized those stories because it's an inconvenient narrative. But at the end of the day, what it shows is that there's no medicine or science to back up these life-altering procedures, and that these clinics raced towards these procedures to achieve a social objective, regardless of the parents' lack of knowledge about how dangerous or life-altering the consequences of the procedures were, and regardless of the fact that there were no clinical assessments done on the front end to determine whether the children would be better suited receiving more traditional mental health services, and certainly no tracking of the negative outcomes right from these dangerous medications and irreversible procedures.
Well, that would be consistent with the report that came out recently from the United Kingdom, the case report that showed almost identically what you've just described there. Attorney General Andrew Bailey, always great to see you. Thank you so much for fighting the good fight on behalf of families there in Missouri. And congratulations on your victory there in court.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. Attorney General Andrew Bailey of Missouri. A reason to be encouraged when we vote and we participate in the process. Pray, vote, stand. We don't get good people in office unless we vote, unless we're engaged. All right, stay tuned for more Washington Watch. After the break, we examine the military aid bills that will be moving forward in the House this week. The one supplemental bill has been broken into four bills. We're going to talk about that and more talk about replacing the Speaker. Some Republicans are not using their brains.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
This is Washington Watch, and I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us on this. What is today? Today is Tuesday. Yeah, wow. It's been a long week. All right, before we go to Congressman Greg Murphy to get an update on what's happening with Capitol Hill as it pertains to military funding for Ukraine and Israel, I want to go to Washington Watch reporter Victoria Marshall to get an update on the articles of impeachment. Two articles of impeachment were delivered over to the Senate today. What are the next steps? Joining us now is Victoria Marshall. Victoria, welcome to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well, Tony.
All right, so give us the update. These articles were delivered to the Senate today. What has Chuck Schumer said in response to these articles of impeachment of the Homeland Security Secretary?
Yes. So Chuck Schumer, the majority leader of the Senate, has said that the Senate will convene tomorrow, Wednesday, as a impeachment court, and senators will be sworn in as jurors. So the trial will happen tomorrow.
Now, is it there's still rumors out there that these will be tabled and they'll simply move on? Or what's anticipated? What will be the next step?
Well, in order for Mayorkas to be impeached, he needs two-thirds of the chamber to vote in favor of conviction, and that's simply not going to happen because Senate Democrats own that chamber. All they need is a simple majority to dismiss the charges, so that's probably is what's going to happen. Either Schumer will dismiss the charges without a trial, or he'll conduct a speedy trial without a conviction. So it doesn't look like that Mayorkas will be charged tomorrow or impeached.
So I guess we'll be watching that closely to see how quickly that plays out. Victoria, thanks so much for giving us that update.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll cover that tomorrow and see how the Senate handles that. Well, We'll see. I don't have a lot of confidence in Chuck Schumer. Our word for today comes from Joshua chapter 6. You shall march around the city, all you men of war, you shall all go around the city once. Then this you shall do for 6 days, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow trumpets. Now Joshua here was being put to the test. Approaching Jericho in this manner required humility and faith. Joshua is a trained military leader. In fact, his tactics are still studied today. In his first campaign as the new leader of Israel, he was not instructed by the Lord to use his military skills and attack with troops, but rather with trumpets. That makes no sense. No sense from man's perspective. But look at the last verse. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. You know, taking a city God's way made the victory even more impressive. To find out how you can join us on our journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. Well, Iran's aerial attack on Israel over the weekend renewed calls immediately for quick action from Congress on legislation to provide defense aid to Israel. Now, yesterday, House Speaker Mike Johnson released the framework of four separate bills that will include defense spending packages for Israel, Taiwan, Ukraine, and additional national security priorities. The Israel bill, which is first up, could receive a vote Friday. Now, this comes as the Biden administration confirms it will not support a standalone legislation for aid to Israel. Will the Biden administration continue to play politics, even following Iran's unprecedented attack on Israel? Well, join me now to discuss this is Congressman Greg Murphy. He serves on the House Ways and Means Committee, the Veterans Affairs Committee, and the Committee on House Administration. He represents the 3rd Congressional District of North Carolina. Dr. Murphy, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thank you for taking time to join us.
Yeah, nice to see you.
Before we get into the specifics of the legislation coming to the House this week, give us your reaction to Iran's attack on Israel this past weekend.
You know, Tony, that was the first time we ever saw a true offensive attack come from the country of Iran across, you know, across the Jordan border, across Syria, on into the heartland of Israel. And, you know, I was over there a little more than a year ago. I was actually in one of the kibbutzes that was overrun. Enough is enough. We've seen Iran lie through their teeth that they don't support Hezbollah, that they don't support Hamas. But then now we've seen something that came from Iran. And so it's a different age. And right. Thank God we had many other countries join in the defense of Israel, and righteously so. Yeah. It's an important thing to do, and the same thing, we need to stand up as a country for our morals, our values, and against this evil regime in Iran.
This is a new age, as you just said, because Iran, we know Iran's bad. They've been doing bad stuff for a long time. Largest supporter of state-sponsored terrorism. But this is the first time they have directly, they've not used proxy. So there's no question who is behind it. So what has emboldened them to take such provocative and aggressive steps?
Well, Tony, I think you have to step back and see what emboldened, what do evil people need for them to act? And that's the sense of weakness. And we saw that in the Biden presidency within, you know, 6 months of his presidency, when we very ingloriously left Afghanistan after 20 years. You know, President Trump had a very metered approach to the Taliban. You do this, then we'll do this. You do this, then we'll do this. But Biden made us leave in the middle of the night only to try to score a political win to say, hey, I'm the president, I got us out in 20 years. But the ramifications of such weakness, as he has shown repeatedly, are now affecting all centers of the world. And so we've seen, I firmly believe Ukraine would have never happened had Biden not done that. And Putin never would have jumped that. And it's also now testing China. We're all testing Israel, that these enemies, these actors, they're very emboldened to attack democracies. And so that's what we're seeing. We're seeing them acting upon weakness. And that's what Joe Biden's presidency has been all about.
Congressman, I think your assessment is spot on. I agree 100% with how you've described it. Let's talk now about response, because the House, since Mike Johnson became Speaker, twice if I'm not mistaken, has sent bills over to the Senate to fund Israel, our strategic ally, and nothing's happened. So under the sense of urgency, the House decided yesterday to divide the Senate supplemental up into four different bills and separate them. Give us kind of the lay of the land, the discussion behind that, and the prospects for that prevailing and succeeding.
Yeah, Tony, there is some discrepancy amongst the Republican caucus about, I think there's uniformity in supporting Israel, but there is some discrepancy about supporting Ukraine. And so the speaker said, all right, well, I'm going to set it up into separate bills. If you don't like something, don't vote for it. But if you like something else, vote for it. And I think it's a very judicious approach. The same thing with Taiwan and the same thing with our national security package. We have to let the votes come to the floor. And I have a major issue, and I will say this, a major issue for those who report, who vote against the rule, because they're basically saying that their vote matters more than my vote, and that my 800,000 constituents are canceled. It's an absolute perverse way to go about getting your way. And people have to learn back to, we live in a democratic republic. We each get a vote, and if you don't win, you don't win. You don't tear down the house. So we're going to proceed with Israel's apportionment, and then I believe used to move to Ukraine, Taiwan, and then the Security Act in a fashion that really, if you don't like it, don't vote for it.
But I think that makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense to me. But you allow the elected representatives to make a decision. Now, most people don't understand the Rules Committee and how that works. It's kind of a complex process, but it has been used by some to shut down the debate and actually force the leadership to use this unanimous consent or this where you've got to get two-thirds in order to move the bill forward. But I want to read you a quote that's even, I think, more egregious than that, where you have one member that essentially is holding the entire body hostage. You have Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, as y'all were heading into closed-door session yesterday, said, my message to the speaker is don't fund Ukraine. Suggesting that she's going to trigger a vote to vacate the chair. How is that fair to the other members of Congress?
It's not. And, you know, Marjorie and I get along well, but we have a disagreement on this issue. One person does not determine U.S. policy, period. And this is why we've been a republic since the beginning and I think done very well with this. She has a personal desire not to do that, and that's fine. Have your own desire. I personally feel it crucial. Absolutely crucial to fund Ukraine, as they're the crux of the East meets West now. I think, you know, it's essentially a war caused by Biden again. But the Ukrainians now are basically being outgunned 10 to 1. And we can't let that democracy die because Putin will roll over and then he'll do the next thing and the next thing. He is just as bad as Hitler ever was, as Stalin ever was. We have to say no to evil.
Well, I actually met with some pastors from Ukraine today discussing the torture that is taking place at the hands of Russians as they go into these cities, and they're torturing evangelicals, pastors, priests, those that are not a part of the Russian Orthodox Church. And I know that there's a problem there, because when I was on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, we identified the religious persecution taking place at the hands of Russia. And as we spoke out on, I was actually sanctioned by Russia. So I know it's happening, but now they're targeting Ukraine.
I'm glad you hear you're part of the club, Tony.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you speak out against them, that's the way the intolerant react. They won't have a conversation. They just try to silence. Right. We've got the same thing going on in our own country.
Absolutely.
So let's talk now just a moment. We mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene. That was percolated back up today with Thomas Massie saying that he would support that effort. I mean, come on. Look, we went through this process 3 weeks with Kevin McCarthy, which I opposed him being unseated. I didn't agree with everything, but it did not make sense. At a time when the world is on fire, does this make sense?
No, it makes absolutely no sense. And again, I'll speak against the actions, not against the individual. I try to think as a surgeon 4 and 5 steps ahead, because if you don't, then bad things happen in surgery. What's the 4 and 5 steps ahead? When Matt Gaetz did this before to McCarthy, which was absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
When asked who's next, well, he just throws up his hand very coyly. I don't know. Well, what do you do? I don't know. What is this saying to the world? If you pull so far hard right, Tony, guess where you end up? You end up in the furthest left there is. And so this, I think this is an absolute, absolute destruction to the Republican Party. And it's from within. And so, look, if we're going to have a hope of maintaining all the things that we've done, exposing the absolute criminality of the Biden administration, we have to have another term.
Right.
Because they've stonewalled us every way. It also affects President Trump's chances of becoming coming back into the White House. We just have to have folks that need to stop thinking with emotion like Democrats do and move forward and try to do something constructive. I get it. There's strong feelings. But then again, you've got to remember, you took an oath to the Constitution. Your vote does not matter any more than anybody else's.
Right. I'm sure there's some things that have gone through the House that you don't agree with either, but you're
Absolutely.
There. You have a voice and you have a vote. This, I think you're absolutely right. You've got to think a few steps down the road. What is the plan? Where do we go from here? And as you've laid out, my concern, and tell me if I'm wrong, but with such a volatile House and only a one-seat one vote margin that the Republicans have, I mean, could you possibly see a Democrat elected if you're at a standoff?
Well, if there are lots of permutations that can happen, Tony, but you have to realize that some of these folks just don't get it. They just don't get it. We have a one-seat majority. We don't have the Senate. We don't have the White House. We cannot have every full-blooded red meat Republican agenda. We just can't do it. It's not physically possible. And some folks just want to tear down the government to do it. What an absolute way to let the far left win.
But you're a conservative. I mean, you've got
Absolutely.
A conservative record. You are from a conservative state. And you understand that this process, I mean, the process has to work out. We get, maybe in this Congress, we get inch by inch. Maybe in the next Congress, if we're successful, we go yard by yard.
Sure.
Why is that so hard to understand?
And I like both those folks. I just disagree with their actions vehemently. I think they're very, very myopic.
Final question for you, Congressman Greg Murphy. I want to, again, thank you for joining us today. What do you project is going to happen this week with these funding bills for military support?
Yeah, so, we have to pass the rule, which is, again, if somebody votes against the rule, they're saying my vote's not important. We've already had some Democrats say they will vote for the rule, even if we have some that vote against it and Republicans. If we vote against the rule, I don't know what these people think is going to happen. I have no clue as to what they think is going to happen. Some in this country actually want us to shut everything down. What is the purpose in that? So I think we fund these three initiatives. We do the other security measures. And hopefully we act like we should be able to govern, which I absolutely believe Mike Johnson understands and knows how to do that.
All right. Dr. Greg Murphy, always great to see you and appreciate your insights.
Absolutely. Tony, have a good evening.
All right, you too. Congressman Greg Murphy of North Carolina. All right, I'm going to go back to Israel. We need to stand with and pray for Israel. Mark your calendars, Sunday, May the 19th. Pray for and stand with Israel Sunday. We're hoping churches across the nation will participate. To find out more, text Israel to 67742. Pray, vote, stand. All right. I leave you with this from the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, when you have prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.
Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.